Idleman Unplugged is part of the Edify Podcast Network.
I want to see your face pass me by the crowds of people, the priest who sing your praise.
Hello, my name is Shane Idleman, and I'm the pastor of Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California. It is my personal heart and goal for you to see truth through a biblical perspective. I hope that you enjoy this segment of Idleman Unplugged.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Idleman Unplugged. I am your host, Luke Duncan, and on this episode of the podcast, Pastor Shane and Dr. Michael Brown discuss President Trump, the church, and nationalism. This segment is part one of two, so be sure to listen to the other segment after you've finished listening to this episode.
I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, and it's only found.
If there's one thing that's clear in Scripture, is that God has called His people to be one. God has called His people to unite around Jesus and to unite around the fundamental truths that He has laid out in His Word and the fundamental principles of life. Jesus prayed that we would be one. Paul urges us to be one. The psalmist talks about the blessing that comes with unity when God's people are together as one. And we are right now in a tremendously divisive time in America, but not just in America, within the church as well. And many people who love the Lord and seem to be fighting for the same larger goals and causes find themselves missing each other, misunderstanding each other, even dividing. So the whole purpose of today's broadcast is to try to flesh out some of the differences, some of the perspectives, what I mean when I say something, what someone hears when I say that, so that we can unite around what really matters, not minimize our differences, not discard them, not throw away truth and principle and just say, well, kumbaya, we'll all be one. But no, and in a substantive way, really understand the things that are most important to God and one another. And by honoring one another and honoring Him, come together as one, because right now, America's falling apart, but the church has the solution in the gospel. This is Michael Brown. Welcome to the Line of Fire. I want to bring on immediately with me a dear brother, a colleague, finally got to meet face-to-face earlier this year, preach for him, meet his amazing family. And I have been so inch-for-inch, heart-for-heart with Shane Idleman for years now. Before he reached out to me and we got to know each other, I was amening his columns. I felt like I could just put my name at the end of his articles. We share the same heart for the purity of the gospel, for repentance, for holiness, for revival, for evangelism. And then recently, we seem to be kind of on different sides of different subjects. So that got us talking. And Shane said, why don't we have this discussion on the air? So Pastor Shane, welcome to the broadcast. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, welcome. It's good to be back. And this time we are at odds a little bit, like you said. But I think it's healthy because people, especially right now, they have to understand or learn how to have a healthy discussion without getting mean and nasty and angry. And I'll just be honest and transparent. I don't have any problem doing this. On one of your emails, you mentioned that maybe I'm not looking at the other side in my articles and I'm not really relating to the other side. And I don't necessarily disagree with that. I think if I have something to work on, that's probably an area I have to work on for sure. But then I started thinking, because you mentioned here, I just wrote it down, we want to unite around important matters. And that is so true. But why aren't we uniting? What's going on? And then I saw in your articles maybe a push against how I'm thinking and believing, and then you felt the same way. So I said, hey, maybe we can just get it out there for people to hear, because this is a very important topic, especially right now when you have the election, the fraud or the lack of evidence and all these different things, and Trump and Trumpism and nationalism. Let's flesh this out a little bit so Christians, I think, can better understand where we're really coming from, because we do disagree a little bit on this issue.
Yeah, and part of it is understanding each other better. In other words, let's find out where we do actually disagree so we can have a discussion there. Because many times it's just the way a word is used. I mean it one way, someone else means it another way. So just for the record, are we having a friendly discussion or a friendly debate?
Definitely a friendly discussion. I don't want to debate you.
Okay. Well, I just, because you had posted it like that and you've been in California, yeah. Even though I'm in North Carolina, I'm a New Yorker. So I put on my New York shirt just in case it was a debate. But okay, we have a friendly discussion. And yeah, that's what we need to. So let's start here. If you were to say the things that most drive you and me, where we have been soulmates and where when I preach for you, we were heart for heart. What would you say are those most essential things that really join us together as one?
Well, I think it's on the essentials, you know, Christ, the inerrancy of Scripture, fighting against the evil agenda that is coming against our nation, and the heart for revival. You know, those types of things really bring us together. And then what seemed to be dividing a lot of people is this whole issue now that we're talking about, you know, draping the flag with the cross, the Trumpism, the nationalism. And that's where I think that there's a divide somehow. And I've been like you, praying and fasting. And even this morning, every morning, Lord, if I'm wrong here, show me. God, give me a heart of compassion. Show me what your word says, and seeking the heart of God. And here's what I found. The more I seek God, the bolder I become on these issues. Go figure. So it's interesting, very interesting times.
And you know me pretty well, but not totally. And when I send something to you saying, I think you're missing something, I then get on my knees and say, Father, what am I missing? So that's right. What we're both doing. And that's what we have to, because all of us have blind spots. You know, I had on the show with me yesterday, a black pastor and a white pastor who've come together as one, and their church is working together in a close way. And there, as we talked, I said, you know, the one thing that happens in these relationships is you realize blind spots we have. Things we didn't see, or maybe where you live in America, how you're responding to something versus someone else. So let's start here then.
Ben, well, I think too, if I can.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
This is important. I think God also raises up different voices. So if he gives somebody a bold, prophetic Leonard Ravenhill heart, they're going to kind of ruffle that nice, quiet, meek, mild pastor. You know, it's going to be sandpaper.
Yep.
And so that's why we have to appreciate different giftings and different callings. But and I think it started with really the Beth Moore tweet. You know, you said, hey, you know, you would support that. And I would say I would absolutely not support that. So that's kind of where I think the main thrust of this is at.
Yeah. So let's start there. I want to read the tweet. But I want to say this first. I know Beth Moore is very well known, but I've never heard her speak. I've never read, to my knowledge, a paragraph of what she's written. I know that there have been accusations that she's become very, quote, woke, and her views have become more liberal. I don't know. These are just accusations. I've just never followed her. Plenty of people out there I've never followed. But she tweeted this out, and it gotten a ton of response, over 100,000 likes when I'd seen it. She said, I don't believe these are days for mincing words. I'm 63 and a half years old, and I've never seen anything in these United States of America I found more astonishingly seductive and dangerous to the saints of God than Trumpism. This Christian nationalism is not of God. Move back from it. Okay, you were so grieved when you heard that, you put out a video strongly differing with it. What did you hear when you read that tweet?
Well, I should also say with you, I've never really followed her. I don't like putting down, and you know this, my heart, I don't like naming names and attacking people. And, you know, my heart's not there. It grieves me. But when they go public, I feel I have a responsibility to respond in public. So what I heard is she just threw everyone under the bus, everyone on his council, from James Robinson to Jim Garlow to Jack Hibbs, all these men I know and I talk to, Jack Graham, Jensen Franklin, myself, all these solid Christians, Lou Engle, she just threw us all under the bus. And I believe it's because they don't like Trump. So they have to just throw this out there. God forbid we meet in Washington, D.C. to have a rally. And then she comes out the next day and throws that out. So I think it's, you know, what you would do is say, hey, we appreciate your heart for our nation and God, but you have to be careful with Trumpism. And here's what I mean. She doesn't do that. She just throws everybody under the bus, all 74 million voters in one fell swoop. And I think it's disingenuous, and I think it needs to be lovingly challenged.
All right. So here's the thing that baffled me, but this is why it's so helpful to flesh this out. When I read that, I didn't think Shane Eidelman. I didn't think James Robinson. I didn't think Lou Engle. I didn't think any of my friends, colleagues. I thought of those who have really looked to Trump in a dangerous way as the only man who can save America and God's anointed, and Christian nationalism as equating the kingdom of God with America. And I've seen a real danger among some Trump voters and supporters. And that's who I read. So why did you immediately hear that? That's throwing everybody under the bus. That, and I voted for Trump and strongly supported this agenda. Why did you hear it the way you did?
Well, I think I would even throw that back on you. How would anyone assume that, oh, no, she didn't mean all these other people. She just meant those religious rite, draping the cross. How would we know to read through that? So I would actually throw that back on you. It doesn't say that. When she makes such a broad statement covers a large area of people. So she, the burden of responsibility to clarify her position is on her, not on me. So just throwing that out there after the Jericho March the next day, and she just doesn't, the bottom line is she doesn't like Trump. She doesn't like that there was a possibility of reelection. She doesn't like anything about him. She's never talked positive about him. She's never said anything nice about him on tweet. So this is all her lashing out, and that's just the truth of it. So that's why I went there with it.
Right, got it. So on my end, because I'm a debater and apologist, I always qualify, I'm not saying this, I am saying this, for those very reasons. When I heard it, I thought it was self-evident in terms of what it meant. And in terms of Trumpism meaning a particular thing, as I've described it, and Christian nationalism meaning a particular thing. Now, one of my stream colleagues, John Zmirak, has been writing articles about how the concept of Christian nationalism is being misunderstood and trashed. So everyone's hearing it differently. But that's why we have to have the discussion. So again, when I wrote my article, agreeing with the words, I started by saying it's not about Beth Moore, and I don't know where she's at and what her views are, what her position is. I just want to focus on this, and then I try to define things. So just tell me if you're with me on this definition. We'll start with Christian nationalism, and I said, you're not a Christian nationalist simply because you love and appreciate America. You're not a Christian nationalist because you're patriotic and serve in the military. You're not a Christian nationalist because you believe Trump was better for America than Biden. You're not a Christian nationalist because you believe there was electoral fraud and are doing your best to fight for a free and fair election. You're not a Christian nationalist because you believe America must protect our religious liberties. You're not a Christian nationalist because you believe God raised up America for special purposes in order to bless and help the world. But you are a Christian nationalist if you confuse loyalty to your country with loyalty to the kingdom of God. You are a Christian nationalist if you wrap the gospel in American flag. You are a Christian nationalist if you merge Christian and American identities. So where are you with me and not with me on that? And we'll start here, then kick it to you after the break. But go ahead.
No, I'm absolutely with you on all of those terms. The problem is most God-fearing, God-honoring church members, people I know, you know, they don't fit under that nationalism definition. We're not draping the cross with the flag. We're not trusting in the government more than God. We know if Trump were to be reelected, all hell could break loose. But she, it's a blanket statement. For example, let me ask you this. God forbid if Trump were to pass away and it was Pence, so would we be considered Pence-ism?
Okay, great. Perfect. Let's start there. On the other side of the break, we will come back. That's where we'll start. All right? And I want you to flesh that out, and we'll ask that question. Would they look to Pence the way they look to Trump? Perfect way to come back. We'll be right back with Shane Eidelman. Thanks, friends, for joining us. We may take some calls if we have time. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I'm here with Pastor Shane Eidelman, respected colleague. I've said this publicly, but if I was looking for churches around America and pastors around America that are hungry for revival and visitation, that are willing to pay the price of having God come in their midst, and that would welcome the presence of God, Pastor Shane would be one of those on my top list. So I've got the utmost respect for him as a colleague, a man of fasting and prayer who stands burdened for the same things that so many of us do. And yet we seem to be coming from some different angles here in terms of concerns that we have. So Shane, back to you. You said, let's say it was Pence that was embattled right now. And let's say there was the fear the election was stolen from Mike Pence. Do you think that there would be the same Christian devotion around America today, evangelical solidarity with Pence that there is with Trump? Or do you see any sign of almost a fanatical support or a dangerous support for Trump?
Again, in my opinion, of course, they're out there that have that radical view, but most of us are looking at the principles. So whether it's Trump, whether it's Ben Carson, whether it's Mike Pence, whether it's Pompeo, we would be fighting over these issues, the direction of our nation. And I think that should be said. Look at who he's putting around in Pompeo, Kayleigh, Ben Carson, Tony Perkins. I mean, why is none of this taken into consideration? It's all about Trump and nationalism. No, we're excited about what God has done in our nation. We want to make a difference. We want the freedom to preach the gospel. And Beth Moore is going in a very dangerous direction. And I think that's where her tweets are coming from. That's where this nationalism is coming from, because you wouldn't hear this 10 years ago.
Well, actually, I've been following this for many, many years.
Trumpism, I should say.
Right, right. I've been following the Christian nationalism thing for many, many years, and the merging of the kingdom of God with American identity. And even if you go back to Moral Majority, when it basically became an appendage of the Republican Party, there were many concerns that were being raised back then. But remember that Donald Trump said that his critics say he could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue in broad daylight and he wouldn't lose any of his followers. And he said, yeah, it's an amazing thing. That's what has shocked me. And again, this is not about Beth Moore, and neither of us have followed her either way. So if she ever wanted to come on the air and share her views, that would be great. But just in short, what I see day and night by the thousands of comments on social media is almost an idolatrous view of Trump as some kind of political messiah. As the only one that can save America and save the free world. And I fully recognize the issues of if you have Joe Biden is inaugurated, and let's say the two Senate seats in Georgia flip blue. All right. So now you have a situation where you could potentially pack the Supreme Court. You could open borders and have a flood of immigrants that wouldn't have been here otherwise, tilting the voter base. You can. Make D.C. into a state and now shift the electoral votes. You renew the nuclear deal with Iran, cave into China. I mean, there are potentially massive implications. I get that. But do you not see, and I know it's a leading way to ask when I say do you not, but do you not see any undue looking to Trump as some type of political messiah that can be dangerous for Christians?
Yeah. And I think, again, it's the heart of pointing it out. And the heart of Beth Moore in these issues is not right. Like, you just saw the email I did that she recommended Jesus and John Wayne, how white evangelicals corrupted a faith and fractured a nation. This is just divisive at its core. So to answer your question, you actually said, you know, I get all this stuff. You just listed massive, major things, correct?
Yeah.
From our borders to LGBT.
Right. Not even talking about abortion, LGBT, all the other things. I'm just right.
Yeah.
All the other things that deeply concern us. Absolutely.
Yeah, you said, I get that, but, and I think that's what kind of concerns me sometimes. It's the but. It's like, well, did you just hear what everything you just said? That's at stake. So, yes, I see people on the far right acting weird, putting him, elevating him. He's not Christ. He's not our Messiah. But if he's part, let's say, I mean, we both can agree that God put him in office, right? God raises a king up. So if he was God's sovereign plan in 2016, why is all this critiquing of him now? We knew we were getting a billionaire from New York to come in and drain the swamp and bring back people and positions of leadership who have godly values. Yes, his character. Yes, this, I got it. But we're looking at the whole nation, political nation. Where, yeah. where are we going? What direction are we going? So, yeah, I see the danger.
Yeah, my point would be, I've been saying the exact same thing from the start. I've been saying the same thing for 4 years. I could give you article after article where I've been saying the same thing. Now it's just being read differently. Yeah. But tell you what, I'm going to respond more. But our dear friend, a man that we both respect deeply, James Robison, is on the line. So got to give the airtime over to my brother. James, thank you for taking time to call in. So good to hear from you.
Shane are two of my heroes and one of the greatest joys of my life as a servant, kingdom servant, is to point at the greatness of God in others. Even the members of the body that have been too often overlooked or never even noticed or heard. And you and Shane are beautiful voices, and you love God with all your heart, and you love your neighbor, and you want the best for everybody. I just want to address that, you know, obviously I love Beth Moore. We actually invested $40 million sharing Beth Moore's message to get women into the Word of God and the Word of God into women for many, many years. And I've not been communicating with her a lot, but would love to. I love her. But this situation right now is very, very troubling because I happen to be one of those individuals who the last 40 years has spoken truth to power and truth to the nation's leaders. And they always heard it straight on. I've never been partisan. I've never been sectarian. I've never been covered by a denomination. I don't want any covering on me other than Christ. I'm not a nationalist. And I'm certainly not one that's going to approve that which is improper, like Trump's previous lifestyle. And many things in his life that still need to be honed, just as many who wrote the great books in the Bible. Solomon was never not an ideal example, yet he gave us a lot of wisdom. Simon Peter made a pretty big mess, as did the other disciples. But the Lord still told us they could hear the truth, they could be corrected by the truth, and they could be used. And what I have done for 4 years, this is the thing I think everybody needs to hear. I happen to know the 20 or 30 leaders who are willing to tell the president the unadulterated truth. They never wavered. They were never partisan. They were never nationalists. They were biblical, principled individuals who understood the strength of our Constitution as it was based upon biblical truth that was greater than all of the men who penned it. It even brought them to repentance and correction painfully. But the point is that this man amazingly asked for the truth and actually told me to surround him with prayer and wisdom and don't ever let him forget it. And I can tell you in hours and even days and for 4 years where he would take virtually every call that I sent to him unless he was speaking. And many of them were serious reprimands. And no one has ever had anyone more forcefully in their face than this man did with me. And there were plenty of witnesses on numerous occasions to hear it. Many times it was just the two of us. Never once did he push back. Every single time he heard truth and wisdom, it began to have an effect on him. This man led in decisions that no one ever believed he could possibly do and understand as being important. And I have tried to tell the church that he was an answer to the prayers of God's people who were asking God sincerely to heal the land and to correct us in the areas of our wickedness, which indifference and salt losing its effect and the light being covered was one of our wicked ways. And I began to see Christian leaders come together the way Jesus prayed for us to. These 20 to 30 church leaders, the most influential, powerful, visible in the country, came together in a supernatural unity that was the most amazing that I have seen in 60 years of public ministry. I watched these great leaders love God with all their heart and put their arms around others who were so far from where they believed they should be, and they begin to watch God change them. And they amazingly watched this president make decisions that literally stunned everyone. So here's the point I want to make. My friend Beth Moore did a great teaching on Daniel. Daniel advised four kings. We would call them anything less than ideal. He oftentimes received appointments and leadership roles under those kings. Every time those kings received the wisdom from God, just like Pharaoh when he listened to Joseph, the people were benefited and blessed. Every time the leaders received the truth that the prophets delivered, fearlessly, unwaveringly, the people were benefited. And I am saying, in answer to the prayers of the remnant of God, those who want the will of God, who love him with all their heart, and who love their neighbors as themselves, those people were praying for God to heal a very sick nation. And the healing process miraculously took place. Now the enemy, the deceiver, the father of lies and disease and division, he has launched an all-out assault on us to hand the future of America to people who believe no meaningful principles, no biblical principles, no historically confirmed principles. The consequences of defying are undeniable. The results of obeying those principles are undeniable in the positive effect. I am saying that we have seen a miracle that's the answer to the prayers of people who love God with all their heart and want the best for their neighbors. And these leaders, I give every one of them a hug, a high five. They never compromised in front of this president. They never wavered. They had nothing to do with partisanship. They are not nationalists. They love God with all their heart, and they were willing to risk their reputation to tell a man that was unpopular with all sides, including the evangelicals, telling the unadulterated truth of God, and they watched that transforming truth have an impact and effect on him. So I'm simply saying, don't throw Daniel under the bus, don't throw Amos, don't throw Isaiah, don't throw Jeremiah under the bus, because they preached the truth to the kings that were not righteous. this man, and I tell you, I want to say to Donald Trump and his family,
tell you what, just got to.
But I'll tell you, thank you for listening to the truth. So I needed to say that.
All right. We got a break. Thank you. Thank you for weighing in. Touch my lips.
If you've enjoyed this episode of Idleman Unplugged, be sure to send us your ideas and topics for future episodes of the podcast. You can send us an email at westsidechristianfellowship.org or shaneidleman.com. Again, my name is Luke Duncan, and I am your host of Idleman Unplugged. Thank you for listening to us today, and join us again on the next episode.
Thank you for listening to Idleman Unplugged. For more information, visit us at shaneidleman.com. Again, that's shaneidleman.com.
This podcast is part of the Edify Podcast Network. Edify is a faith-inspiring app that brings together thousands of the best Christian podcasts in one place for your listening enjoyment. Cut through the noise and grow your faith by diving into the world's top Christian podcasts today. Download the Edify app for free from the App Store or Google Play, or by going to edify.app. That's edifi.app.
El Paseo Publications proudly supports the Westside Christian Fellowship Radio Network. We are committed to quality in Christian publication. Free ebooks can be found at westsidechristianfellowship.org under free ebooks. Books such as What Works for Men and What Works for Young Adults will help readers understand that the obstacles ahead are never greater than God's power to take you through. Books such as What Works When Diets Don't and Feasting and Fasting demonstrate how health can be achieved from a biblical perspective. Other free books such as Answers for a Confused Church and Desperate for More of God show the importance of fully surrendering our lives to Christ. And One Nation Above God is a must-read for anyone concerned about the direction of America. Again, free downloads of these ebooks are available at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We are happy about partnering with the Westside Christian Fellowship Radio Network.